Hello, good morning, and welcome to the next episode of our Fuck Up podcast. It's actually a premiere today because it will be the first version in English only. So it's a chance for you to practice English. And for those who speak English as the native tongue, as the second, third, or fourth, to listen to a very distinguished guest that speaks English. And it's John Hawken. Hello, John.
Hello.
John is a teacher of Tantra and shamanism, author and founder of The Paths of Transformation. That sounds too exciting. And I hope that we will have a great discussion about what these actually are. So first, John, our traditional question is, what comes to your mind when I say fuck up?
About half of my life, I'd say. Well, you know, I was looking back through my life and seeing various mistakes that I've made, and stupid mistakes. And looking right back, I found where the whole thing started. The biggest formative fuck-up was when I was 8 years old. And I was a very bright young boy, you know. I was good at school, and I was chosen to do the readings in the school carol service. And so my mother dressed me up in my best clothes. In those days, we had Sunday best, normal school wear, and for playing in, three lots of clothes, that was it. So I was wearing my Sunday best to school because in the afternoon there was this carol service and I had to read in front of everybody. And in those days we had lunch at school and I was in the queue for lunch and the boy next to me spilt his cake and custard all over my front. And I was carried off by the dinner ladies who did their best to clean me up. And so I thought, well, okay, that's fine, you know, been looked after. And in the afternoon was the carol service. My parents weren't there because they were both working. They were both teachers. And, yeah, everything seemed to go fine. The reading went fine. And then when I met my parents afterwards, my mother completely freaked out, because I had this big, greasy stain over the front of my trousers. And I really remember her kind of scrubbing at me, at my upper thigh, in a very angry way. That really sits in my body memory, right? And I felt, instead of getting praise, yes, I'd done this good reading, and everybody was thinking how clever I was, I just got, you haven't looked after your appearance. And my mother didn't forget such things, like she would not speak to me for 2 weeks. So punishment was always the withdrawal of love. And I remember this as such a deep experience of feeling guilt that I'd upset her and that all of her work and everything with me had gone to nothing. And also a deep feeling of shame. And I'm certain that this experience helped me decide that I wanted to spend my life healing guilt and shame, not only in myself, but for other people, which is why I became a therapist.
Well, so far I have not heard such a direct link between a childhood fuck-up to a career choice, so bravo, in a way.
I've got another one, if you want.
I do. I just want to make a short comment about cake and custard. It's been maybe 28 years since I had one, and I'm happy to have forgotten that experience, but it reminded me how... I went to a British public school, and we had cake and custard, and I remember these sets of clothes and stuff like that.
Spotted dick.
Exactly. And what I like is that you said withdrawal of love as punishment is cruel, but there is even a worse alternative these days, which is withdrawal of a mobile phone.
Ooh.
That's the age that we've mature too. But okay, give me another one. So this was one when you were 8 years old, if
yes,
I remember correctly.
It's another one when I was eight. Yeah, that one of the boys from the neighborhood, we were playing together, and he dared me. He said, "Let's go out into the bushes and show each other our bottoms," which, of course, was a very exciting prospect. So off we went, and I have to confess, I still feel embarrassment about this. He showed me his, and I copped out. I completely fucked up on this agreement, and I didn't show him mine. I was just too ashamed. I just was paralyzed with shame and couldn't do it, even though I wanted to. And interestingly enough, a similar situation happened when I was, I don't know, 22, 23. I had a rather bold Australian girlfriend at the time, and she appeared one evening with a riding crop, and she wanted me to whip her bottom. And I felt the same shame. It was like I wanted to, but I couldn't even really admit I wanted to. And I went into this paralysis, and I shamed her for wanting to do something that was just purely fun and exciting. And I still feel the memory of that I felt really fucked up, literally, inside. It wasn't so much I did a fuck up. I was a fuck up. I was full of shame. I was full of needing to be this good boy. Horrible puke making. And so a lot of my life was about how not to be this good boy anymore. How to discover some life and some energy and some adventure in myself, and not to be my mother's son anymore.
Well, I bet your mother must have been happy about your daring development into the bad boy.
No, she didn't understand any of it. What was she supposed to say at the hairdresser's when she went to gossip with the women from the village? You know, she couldn't say, "Oh, my son's a tantra teacher." She wanted to say, "My son's a doctor," or "My son is a bank manager." And she couldn't tell him about anything that I was doing. I went to Cambridge. She was happy about that. She could boast about that. But after that, finish. She never understood my development.
It's an interesting discussion about mothers. My mother, up to this day, she has no idea what I do for a living. And she gave up when I started having these entrepreneurial projects. I mean, really jump from one to another, and it's not a career or...
But what do you actually do, dear?
Exactly. That's the same question. Yeah. So we stopped talking about it. She's happy that I give her a call or come for lunch with the kids, and that's fine.
Well, you know, all around me, I didn't have any models of being a man, really, to grow up into. My father was under the thumb of my mother, and she was always very rude about him, and I was supposed to be better than him, to do better than he had. And there was nobody else around. And I found my first models of how I would really like to be when I went to the theatre laboratory in Poland and studied with Jerzy Grotowski.
Theatre laboratory, was it like a theatre group or an improv?
Yeah, this is one of the most famous experimental theatres of the 60s and 70s. And it was a very small troupe in Wrocław. And there were seven of them. And they had a very kind of monastic style. It was terribly dedicated. They did lots of physical work. And the whole point that Grotowski was after was that theater was not about showing things. Theater was about being something in front of an audience, who he stopped calling an audience. He called the spectators then witnesses. And at the end, they were like communicants in a church. They were sharing part of the experience of the humanity of the actors. So the actors were simply being human, being deeply, openly human, until their energy was like a blaze of light and they disappeared. That was Grotowski's expression. So he spent all of the time with the actors working on how to drop their masks, drop their habits, and simply be.
So do you think that this experience with theatre or being an actor and practicing various techniques and being
and
as...
No techniques.
And being as...
Anti-technique.
As a human, do you think that's something maybe that a lot of present-day, I don't know, entrepreneurs, people doing other jobs would appreciate to really... My encounter with theater was very brief, but also left a deep, I don't know, scar or a lasting positive impression. But I think something that you did actually was joining this theater laboratory in Poland and meeting interesting people, and it somehow changed your path through life. Do you think that more people should have this experience with theater, even though you might be working as a manager or as a scientist, that really this is something that people shouldn't be afraid to try at some stage?
Well, I do, and it doesn't really have anything to do with theater, because, of course, what Grotowski was doing, you could call it anti-theater. It was about the same time as the whole anti-psychiatry movement was going on with R.D. Lang and so on. So the field of spirituality, the field of Buddhism, the field of Tantra, the field of therapy is just as important to get into the sense of I have a right to be myself. And who am I? And more than that, it's the difference between therapy and Tantra, by the way. Therapy asks the question, who am I originally? What's my deep original self? Tantra asks the question, who do you want to be? Who do you choose to be? Because Tantra says, you place your consciousness on energy, and that's how the whole universe was created, and you can create your life by doing that. And you can create the life fundamentally that you wish for yourself by placing your consciousness on the energy around you and forming it. And yes, that theater laboratory, the people there were so inspiring. It wasn't that they taught me something. I was with them, and being with them was purely inspiring. And I left Poland with this feeling, that is how I want to be. That's the only way of being that has any real value. But I wasn't anything like that, you know. I was the product of British education. I was very intellectual. I was very much in my head. And it took me a long time and a lot of suffering, in a way, or searching in the dark often, to cross that gap between who I actually was, inhibited, Eddie, and how I wanted to be, spontaneous, open, emotionally intelligent. I hope I have finally, at my age, managed to more or less cross that gap.
Well,
I'm quite sure. Ask my wife.
I like this tantric question, who would you like to be instead of who you are originally? I mean, the answer to that question, if you ask great number of Czechs, and I think young Czechs and other people around the world, is easy. They tell you either Elon Musk or, I don't know, some other celebrity, either sports or culture. My question is, do you think that people really can answer that question, who I want to be? Because there could be a valid answer, I don't have a clue. And there is no...
You can and you can't. If you answer from your head, I'd like to be like this person, or I'd like to fulfill this image, then you're not that. It's still an idea. It's a virtual reality in your head. And the whole task is to discover it by embodying it. So who I want to be becomes who I am through the process of living it and embodying it. And that is really what the journey of Tantra is all about. But talking about, can I go back your question about fuck-ups? You see, I went to Poland on the 1st of January 1974. And up to that point, I'd got a first at Cambridge. I was successful there. And I'd got a fairly desirable position with Granada Television as a trainee producer director. And before I'd applied to the theatre laboratory, is there any way of coming and learning with you guys? And I finally got a reply once I'd already started at Granada TV in Manchester. I got a telegram and I had to decide, am I going to stay here at Granada and I'm going to follow a career in TV, or I'm going to already opt out and go and do something weird and crazy in Poland? And believe me, in those days, Poland did not feel like the place you jump on Ryanair to go and have a stag do. Poland was the other side of the Iron Curtain. And what's the difference between Poland and Siberia? Well, in most people's minds, in England, nothing, right? So people thought I was really, really crazy. And when I finally decided, having thrown the I Ching and getting revolution, I decided to go. I arrived in Wrocław after 2 days on the train, and it was dark and it was snowing. And I found a theatre which was up some stairs from an alleyway which smelled of piss because the men from the bar Mleczny next door would drink all the beer. It was all finished by midday and come and piss in the alley. It was not very impressive. And when I got there, the lady couldn't really speak any English, and I'd just been looking up the words for yes and no in Polish on the train. But we managed to communicate. She said, take tram number 4 to the end, and there is the Hotel Stadion Olimpinski. Okay, right. So I did that, and I got off the tram, and it was a dark wood, really like in the fairy stories, full of snow. The snow was coming down. I was carrying my luggage and, of course, all the stupid books that my head thought I needed in one suitcase, and staggered through the snow. And in front of me arose this huge building that was the Olympic Stadium built by Hitler in 1932, 1933, whatever. And I really thought, this is a total fuck up. I'm in Siberia. What have I done? I've given up a fantastic possible career. I felt really, really low. And there is a little window with a little light, and I went and knocked on the window, and this old lady came, and what was I going to say? So I said, Teatro Laboratorium, and she sent us that way. So I walked all the way around half of the circumference of this previous Olympic Stadium. And then I came to a door, an iron door. And I opened the door and I stepped out of total Siberia into kind of paradise, because inside it was full of young people who'd come from all over the world for these auditions for the theatre laboratory. And they were playing music and they were dancing and they were drumming. And I stepped into a party that went on for the next 72 hours. And so I stepped from total misery and this feeling I have really fucked up now into, wow, this is opening a steel fire door, and there it was. So I did learn how sometimes it's important to keep going through the difficult parts and really believe in what you're searching for.
Well, I heard, I don't know who said it, always do the opposite of, you know, what somehow the world and the others want you to do or push you to do.
Well, that's an idea, but the problem is if you're doing the opposite, you're still controlled by what you're rebelling against.
There is another system which is connected to this idea of serendipity, which is this unexpected, pleasant surprise. And I talked to somebody about the best way to discover new places and cities. And instead of following the guides or whatever, being directed by any sort of system, just have a roll a dice or pick a random number and then take the street, statistics take you. I don't know. So it looks that...
I used to do that. There's a book called The Dice Man. And he lives his life like that. He writes out six options, then he rolls the dice to make all decisions. And increasingly, it's a novel, right? It's not autobiographical. Increasingly, he puts in unwanted possibilities to challenge himself, which end up really, because it's a novel, in an extreme way, he's supposed to murder somebody and something. But as a basic principle, it's very interesting to try that one.
Well, so to our audience, if you want a new idea how to spend, your next year or months, roll the dice and do let me know if you think it's a fuck up or you'll discover
something. You still have to think of the options, right?
Oh, of course. You still need to use letters of the alphabet to write them now and et cetera. There has to be a line somewhere. But still, I'm wondering how someone that... How did you end up in Prague? Now I understand how you got into Poland from Cambridge, Poland. But there must be something that you said this part of the world, Central Eastern Europe, these countries emerging from the dark ages of communism. There must have been something that stuck. Why? What's the charm of this part of the world to someone like you?
Well, there were stations in between. After Poland, I went back to the UK and I lived in Cornwall and I love Cornwall, but trying to earn a living in Cornwall is impossible. And I didn't want to go and live in London, which you have to, more or less. And what I did find down in Cornwall, or next door in Devon, actually, was a training in bioenergetics. So that's where I did my therapy training in the way of searching how to be more myself and how to drop the good boy, how to be more in touch with my anger, for example, or with me as I really was. And when I finished that, I'd spent all my money. So I was desperate for a job. And I was offered a job in Germany, and because I spoke German, I went off and did it. So I spent 18 months in Bremen and then went back to England. And while I was in Bremen, I started doing classes in bioenergetics and in therapeutic Reichian massage. And they were quite popular. And so when I was back in England, I was traveling back to Bremen to continue these workshops. And they got so full that I really had to decide, am I going to stay in Cornwall or am I going to go to Germany and do this properly? And that's what I did. So that was when I stepped out of the system, because I was teaching in a state school. I stepped out of the system completely and became an entrepreneur living off my wits, which, is good. I'm proud of it. So, I was in Germany then for 11 years. Then I was homesick. I went back to England for 16 more years. You see, it's a long life. I'm 69 now. And in Cornwall, I had a friend from the Czech Republic who came to the groups, and she wanted me to come to Czech Republic and bring my work, bring Tantra to the Czech Republic. So as a favor to her, I did. Through it, I experienced one of the biggest fuck-ups in my life? Well, it was very tough because it wasn't easy to teach a tantra group in the Czech Republic back in those days. This is, what, 13, 14 years ago? There was no culture for it. And the place we were working in, which will remain nameless, was absolutely filthy. And I asked people, will you come and sweep the floor with me or get this so that we can actually do some energy work here, because at the moment it's too dirty to do that. They laughed at me and they went for a swim. So one guy was happy to help and we swept the place out, and everybody else spent their time hanging out. And that whole first training I did was such a struggle to get a kind of culture across. And I sometimes had to, well, that was my feeling, be a little bit critical to these Czech people and say, wake up, get off your asses. The problem was that this girlfriend who was translating for me refused to translate anything I said which was in any way negative to the Czechs. She thought somehow that would save them. So I experienced huge feelings of helplessness. I'm trying to teach something, but I don't speak any Czech. And that was hugely frustrating. But I suppose it wasn't a real fuck up, because in the end, the training worked. People from that training became the assistants on the next training. And after that, there were no more problems. They made sure everybody towed the line. And things went up from there. So I had more and more people in this country. So I was doing more groups in the Czech Republic than I was in England. And so I decided to come here and to live here, because I was spending half my time here anyway. So I made the move. And what I must say is the enthusiasm for any kind of spiritual growth work here was wonderful. And I guess that's the real reason why I came and why I stayed, because it was the same in Poland, because the spiritual work at the theatre laboratory was forbidden, more or less. Well, the theatre laboratory survived. They were well known. But student groups, for example, that were going on at the same time, they were literally rehearsing in cellars, or one was in the crypt of a church by candlelight from midnight till 3 a.m. It was really underground theatre. And this whole kind of the forbidden nature of the spiritual work, or here when I came to the Czech Republic, things had just opened up, and the hunger for it, or the thirst for it, was huge. And that's what I enjoyed in the Czech Republic.
I'm sure we could talk about what it means not to think from your head, or shame and guilt. But what I'm, I think, and also the audience is interested in is Tantra. Because I heard from a friend of mine who went to a tantric massage that it was a very exhilarating experience with a great ending. And is that it, or I'm probably there is more than it's just a massage that
unfortunately the word tantra has been totally misappropriated for such sexual services. And I started teaching, well, I've been teaching tantra the whole time, which is the philosophy, the energetic practices. And what tantra is about is connecting with other people with an awareness of the energetic connection rather than the physical connection. That you bring your bodies together, but the flow of energy between you, or the energy created between you, is what is most important, most valuable, and what is really not spoken about. And the whole practice of Tantra is about becoming aware of the energetic connections between people, especially, of course, between lovers. This whole thing of tantric, inverted commas, massage with a happy end, well, that's not Tantra. because in fact, Tantra is about not having a happy end, rather feeling joy and energy in your whole body, expanding it even more. So you sense your energy body bigger than your physical body and not wanting to discharge or release that energy, but wanting to be it and to relax into it. That's the fundamental teaching of Tantra. And I did start a tantric massage course only because I thought it's stupid if I just protest against these massage schools. I actually need to teach what would be a proper, in my opinion, tantric massage, teaching about energy exchange, teaching about feeling valuable, all the good things of Tantra. So I did that and I've passed it on to the teachers I've trained to continue that. But my interest is much more in this whole thing of creating our reality by placing consciousness on our awareness of energy. That, for me, is what Tantra is actually about.
It reminds me of the chi energy that is used in Chinese medicine.
Of course, yes.
My wife is now studying Chinese medicine, so I, from my original ignorance, I'm gradually moving to accepting it and actually appreciating some of the techniques. So I have an open mind towards Tantra. So why should I, for example, attend one of your workshops? I understand you organize workshops most time of the year. Is it in South Bohemia or is it in...
Yes, it's an old water mill that we've converted into, it's now called the Center of Transformation. And it's a seminar house, seminar hotel.
So what should I expect? Shall I apply if I have a problem with my partner, or should I apply if I want to discover her more? Or what are the reasons typically that you hear, you know?
Well, both of those. First of all, people can come either as a couple to a couple's training, which we call lovemaking, because our training focuses on making love with your partner, which you don't do in the group room. You do it in the privacy of your own room. But we teach techniques beforehand, and afterwards we meet to share how did it go. So you've got 8, 10 other couples sharing their experience, and so together you get this feeling of we're either correcting the problems where things are going wrong together, or we're discovering new possibilities that we hadn't experienced before, which is what Tantra does. Tantra is about going beyond your boundaries in a sense of discovering like a whole new world of energy, because Tantra is about knowing and using consciously your energy body. We have a physical body and we have an energy body. Now, on one level, and that would be at the level of the Chinese medicine, we look at how energy flows through our body or doesn't flow, you know, where it's blocked. And you can use methods like acupuncture or this is what tantric massage should be doing to help the energy flow through. But that is just one part of the experience of the energy body, because you can go beyond that and experience your energy body as who you are and who you actually will be after death, when you lose your physical body. And this experience of being one with the universe, so that you're not like an island in the sea of life. You are like part of the sea of life. You're one with everything. So a lot of what we do on the workshops is to have more and more experiences of that, until people have a sense of themselves as an energy body as great or even bigger than their sense of themselves as a physical body, which nowadays you can't take for granted since people walk around in their heads most of the time. So we're looking at bringing people out of the heads into the physical body and using their five senses, and then out of the physical body into the energy body and having the possibility of becoming one with a partner, which you can't on the physical level. Only on the energy level can you merge and satisfy that very deep longing for merging, or become one with everything, with the universe, with God, however you choose to describe it.
Well, one and many is the traditional theme of Greek philosophers, the old Henkan Pola, I think. And I'm happy to hear that actually what we were taught at school somehow starts making sense at my age, which is a good news.
Can I cut in there? Because
yeah,
there's one topic I wanted to share with people. Yeah. And that's the topic of my birth. Yeah, because in a way, my birth was a fuck up. I'll tell you what happened, and then you can decide, was it my fuck up or was it the doctor's fuck up? But I was coming 2 weeks premature. I was the first baby. And so the nurses were saying to my mother when she said, I can feel the baby coming. No, that's not possible. Mrs. Hawking, you know. And finally she got them to look, and my head was already crowning, and they weren't ready. The doctor wasn't in the hospital. This was 4 o'clock in the morning. And what they did then was give my mother gas, I suppose the same as you get in the dentist's, to actually stop the birth or delay the birth. And, of course, I got this gas. And so in my therapy experiences, I have actually gone back to this moment where I was busy coming. Here I am, folks, I'm about to be born. And then suddenly, like, this mist comes in and I go completely unconscious. I go out of it. And that is me remembering this gas. And so the message of this is either they're not ready for me, or worse, they don't want me. I don't belong here. And that was the formative experience, even before custard and things like that. This question, yeah? Am I the fuck up? Should I perhaps not be here? Yeah? Or the alternative, that would be, I'm special. Nobody's wanting me because they're not ready for such a genius as me, right? So if I look back, my life has been swinging between those two points of view. You know, on the one side, I'm great, and look, I'm spending most of my life helping so many people as a therapist, as a teacher. So I deserve some good luck, yeah? I deserve brownie points in heaven. Or actually, I'm a load of rubbish and I shouldn't be here at all. I am a fuck up. I'm not somebody fucking up. I am one. And if I look at my life swinging between those two and actually trying to find, on the one side, the humility, here I am and I'm doing my best, but I have to keep doing my best. There isn't a point where I can say, right, that's enough. Now I can be lazy. Yeah, I have to keep being the kind of person I choose to be. And not collapsing into the worthlessness. That really has been my journey since the birth. But I had a very interesting experience that happened. I didn't seek it out, that reversed that experience of my birth. So I had bought a boat, a sailing boat in Germany, where I was working, and I was bringing it to Cornwall, sailing it to Cornwall, to do the language school that I used to do in Cornwall every summer. And we got as far as Calais, and we set off from Calais towards Dover. And the weather got worse and worse. Clouds were coming in. The wind got stronger and stronger. And I actually decided, although I was already one third of the way across, to turn around and go back. And later I discovered that there had been fog in Dover with a visibility of 10 meters. With all the ferries going in and out, that would have been very hairy. And I realized that in German, the word for English channel is the same as the word for birth channel or birth canal. It's the Geburtskanal. And that I had, by waiting, by going back and taking my time, I had reversed that experience of pushing through and landing in the fog. And it wasn't something I sought out. It's something that life kind of brought to me, because that is my experience. Life keeps bringing you learning things. And so fuck-ups are very often an opportunity to learn. Well, actually, I'd say it doesn't feel like it at the moment, at that time, but fuck-ups are always an opportunity to learn.
Well, certainly they are, at least the way you tell the story makes all the three that we discussed so far, which was the custard one, tender age, then we had this Polish experience of the Olympic Stadium, and even the one that happened before your birth, even with the gas, and suddenly over time it's becomes a circle or one instead of you know, these incidents without any common line or link. I wanted, because we are approaching the end of our conversation, and I wish we had more time, because I think I put down lots of notes, areas which I would love to discover further. But let's now, I think even the pandemic, the time when we were locked, we are locked at home in our homes with our partners, maybe some of them would like to attend one of your workshops, or would like to read more about Tantra energy. I know you published a book. Maybe you could introduce the book and how to get hold of it.
Realizations, and it means realizations in the sense of aha experiences. I've understood this, and also realizations in the sense of making something real, manifesting in your life. And basically, it's 142 chapters, each of which is kind of one short understanding or realization that I share in my teachings. If I'm teaching Tantra, if I'm teaching shamanism, if I'm teaching bioenergetics, or if I'm teaching Dark Eros, which is my special work about guilt and shame, or rather healing guilt and shame. And the book has been translated into Czech. It's called Tantrická cesta. And that can be obtained via Maitreya. Mm-hmm. And the English copies you can get through us, and simply the website, thepathsoftransformation.com in English, or cestytransformace.cz in Czech.
In Czech.
And can I just mention briefly one chapter from that book, which is about mistakes, which is the nice word. Nice word for fuck up, I guess. And it's about the medicine wheel of mistakes. And it starts off in the South. First step is to be able to allow yourself to make mistakes. Yeah. Come out of your safe zone, take risks, and you're going to make mistakes. Yeah. That's the first step in the South. In the West, it's about learning from your mistakes. It's fine to make a mistake so long as you learn from it. In the North, learning from the mistakes of others. So you don't have to make your own, you know. Other people can become teachers for you. The more they have fucked up, the bigger teachers they can be. And my favorite one is in the East, learn from the mistakes of your teachers. Even teachers are allowed to make mistakes. We're only human. And then in the center of the circle, which is kind of the place of enlightenment, learning without mistakes. But that is very far up the scale.
Well, I think what I stuck in my head is dark eras for some reason. So I strongly encourage our listeners to get hold of a copy.
And we have a Dark Eros group coming up in May and another one in August. And I hope that they can happen, COVID allowing or COVID regulations allowing. And you'll find the details on Paths of Transformation website.
Okay, and it's pathsoftransformation.com in English, or the Czech version is cestytransformace.cz.
That's it.
So if you are interested and you are intrigued as much as I am,
yeah, and it's
then
about
please do
healing guilt and shame.
Do your search and Google John Holkin as well. There are many paths leading to the one. So thank you, John, for spending almost an hour on our podcast. It's been an extreme pleasure.
It's been a pleasure for me too.
Thank you very much. And if you enjoyed listening to our conversation, please hit those stars so that we know we are doing a good job. If we don't, then that's fine as well. At least we tried. So till next time, have a great time, and don't be afraid to fuck up. So bye-bye.
Bye. Wow.